This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Welcome back.
This dress is bad for my boobs because it flattens them and they're actually bigger than this. But maybe I'll fall in love with somebody who likes tiny tits.
I think because we're in Bushwick, binders are so relevant.
I know. Do you ever feel like as a she, her, you're accidentally binding and you're like, this is appropriation? It's like when I put on a sports bra, I'm like, this isn't my culture.
I'm laughing mortified that you asked me if I know. The only time I wear a bra is performative art style.
I've never worn
it as actually a support mechanism, and I would love one day to use it in a utilitarian fashion, of course, because a big dream of mine is to have boobs for 3 days.
You want them for 3 days? Okay.
Well, I had them for one day when I did drag, and I couldn't stop touching them the whole time. So I just know for 3 days, it'd be really fun for everyone to watch me grow myself.
From
an exploratory standpoint.
Did I ever tell you somebody DM'd me when I posted you in drag, and they were like, Sarah Squirm? It was all caps.
Giving Sarah Squirm.
The specific outfit you were wearing was kind of giving her.
Funny. Honestly, it's been a big black wig.
It's perfect. Okay, wait. Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch.
What?
It's panicked. Yeah.
Sorry.
Welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch.
I'm Amelia.
And
We're sorry. We usually start with that, but we had to get right into it.
Ask me my name.
What is your name?
My drag name was Misty May Train Her. What is your drag name?
I don't know. What is it? It's the month you were born and the street you grew up on.
That's actually famously your prostitute name.
Okay, my prostitute name is April Possum Trot.
Yeah,
kind of epic. To be born on a street, to grow up on a street called Possum Trot.
I just love you thinking that's what a drag queen name is when you famously edit like 8 drag queens podcast.
So we haven't recorded since before Christmas, and now we're fully in January. We have to kind of catch up really quick.
It's unfair you ask me first because yours is so much better than mine. I went back to my family home I went in with a new lens. So usually I go home and I'm like, why am I? I never ask myself, why am I in bad mood? I'm like, why? What is my mom's deal? Like, it's never about what my internal conflict is. I'm always blaming it on others. But I'm like, why am I feeling this way? And then, so I had experienced the same thing I experience every year, which is going home. But the twist is this year I experienced it from the lens of personal growth.
You experience going home every year, but this year you experienced it through the lens of what?
Personal growth, opportunity, and asking myself the harder questions.
How many Bell Hooks books did you get through?
I'm not even through one. It takes me, because I can only listen for 20 minutes at a time to Bell Hooks. Otherwise, it becomes too emotionally taxing. And I can only listen to it while in the gym because I like the external inflection of all the men really working out and having that... having a reflection of men being men and then listening to bell hooks at the gym is I love that middle ground. It is so comforting.
No, you kind of need the combo to really let it linger. Yeah, no wonder it's impacting you so much because it's kind of in the context of the kind of dynamic exactly being spoken about.
Like when girls are on elliptical and men are on a bench press and I'm listening to bell hook, I'm like, her points hit so much harder. Yeah. Wait, Amelia, how is your New Year's last holiday Christmas?
Amazing. I went on an 8-day solo yoga retreat in Puerto Vallarta, and everyone there was 15 years older than me and a divorced mom. I was obsessed. I loved connecting with those women. We're still chatting on WhatsApp right now.
It's so funny because the things I love on your WhatsApp are your half siblings you've ever met but only connected through 23andMe. And divorced moms that you met in real life.
And old message conversations when I was Lindsay Lohan's podcast producer.
Oh, it's so funny because your contact is the one that's associated to our TikTok account. So I'm always getting her whole family. It's from your
contact,
Melissa Lohan, and she has 3 videos, 6 likes between them. I'm like, I get exclusive content here.
I had to say, in the 6 months that I was her producer, I learned so much about her family. She's a family-oriented girl.
Really?
Yeah, congrats on the baby, Lindsay.
Congrats. We want to say it here first.
I know. I'm glad we were able to catch I'm so glad we were able to catch up, Evan. I hope you guys had a happy new year. We're so, so excited for our guest today. They are kind of, I don't know, a genius, I'd say. And
I don't know, a genius?
I don't know. Sorry, I'm getting shy already.
No, they are a genius. That's like clinical fact.
They're clinically genius and they're kind of like really smart and, you know, have a lens of critique that I think will be invaluable to our podcast. And we're so excited to have them on. You know them from Substack. You know them from their podcast, Like a Virgin, from iHeartMedia. Guys, let's cross dissolve now to Rose Damu. It's Rose.
Oh my God. Hi.
We've been meaning to get a genius on the podcast for months.
Oh my God. So when are you finally going to get one?
Nope. Today's the day. Today's the day. It's you.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I did get a 1270 on my verbal SATs.
Holy
so I
shit.
Do think that qualifies me.
I just got chills.
Does that actually, I like don't know if that's a good score anymore because I feel like they changed the number system.
It's back to 1800. It used to be 2400, but now it's back to 18.
Okay.
Yeah. Seriously, what you got is amazing.
Okay, wow.
Congratulations. Were you good at SAT?
I was a good test taker, but I was not a good student ever.
Okay, yeah.
And I feel like that's probably true of some of the girls on Girls.
Totally.
I would like to see their SAT scores.
They're getting into the mode like day of, but yeah. Day to day, they're being themselves. They're having no fun.
I mean, did Jessa even take the SATs?
I was gonna say, she's the first person ever applied test optional. They didn't let her have the choice.
She did go to Oberlin for one day. So, one year.
I'm sure Georgia Shaw did a really great job, but she could never figure out math. I'm sure to beat her up every single day.
I don't know. I think like she's probably one of those people who seems really stupid and is surprisingly really good at math. Oh.
Yeah, I think, you know? She low-key was slaying pre-cal. Mm-hmm. And was like, yeah, duh.
Oh, I'm so sorry to Shoshana. I want to come here and apologize.
And Marnie just got straight B's, always.
You think Marnie was B?
Yeah.
I feel like probably.
I think she's type A so much that like she developed every Quizlet that we're still following to this day. That's kind of what it feels like to me.
I do think she studied, but I don't think it gave her an A+.
Wow. Oh. And she's a bad test taker, that is for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wait, Rose, we have to know what happened to you when Girls came out. Were you there for it? Were you a part of it?
Okay, so, you know, I'm a little older than you are. I found out how old you both were and started crying. No, like, I was the same age as them when the show started airing.
Oh,
I was,
my God.
When the show started, because it was, what, summer 2012?
Yeah.
So I was 23, living in Bushwick when Girls
my
started.
God.
Yeah. So, like, you said you edit videos for middle-aged women. Like, I'm one of those middle-aged women.
We were curious to know what Bushwick looked like 10 years ago during a Girls era.
Was it like that?
Well, I mean, Girls famously is set in Greenpoint more than Bushwick. But I guess, like, you know, the episode that everyone thinks of, The Craxident.
The Craxident.
Like, yes, Bushwick was like that. It's like a lot of people who, like, would later be stuck at Burning Man, you know, in 2023. I mean, Bushwick, like, I lived in Bushwick for a long time. I was probably, like, unfortunately, one of the early gentrifiers.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was a version of what exists now. And like, obviously that was like somewhat heightened for TV. And like, I don't believe that the people who were making that show were necessarily like part of the quote unquote youth culture that was happening at the time. Like, I don't think Lena Dunham was going to warehouse parties.
No.
But yeah, like I've seen a girl wearing Jess's feathered outfit before, like in an unironic way.
That's so important to know is true.
Yeah.
Whoa. Well, we have a theory that the girls today would be living in Bushwick if the show came out today.
Yeah, because Greenpoint's kind of too expensive now.
Or they'd be living in, like, Gramercy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Or they'd be living in, like, Los Feliz. Like, it wouldn't even be in New York.
They're right by the Purple movie theater.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that. Marnie would love to go on a walk there.
Oh my God, she would be at the reservoir every day.
She'd be jogging, like every scene of Marnie would be Marnie jogging at the reservoir.
I've never been to LA, so
you don't need to go.
Do you go there a lot?
Well, I lived there for 2.5 years.
Oh my God.
I was one of those like New York is over. I'm going to LA, girls. And I did. And then LA sucks. So I moved back.
Yeah. I bravely moved to LA first just to double check that I wanted to move to New York. Mm-hmm. And then like the first week I was there, I was like, so I'll be moving to New York, but I guess I'll live here for COVID for 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I lived in LA during COVID.
Okay. We both and, lived like, in hell.
I moved June 2020 just as it was like getting slightly less bad here just in time for it to be horrible in LA.
The summer was the worst.
It was, well, no, I think the winter was the worst. Like that was the year that I spent New Year's alone at home.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, I did lie. I went to LA one time in seventh grade and I could tell you could tell. the only thing I did there was going to a TMZ tour where I publicly came out as gay because they kept asking trivia questions about celebrities and I was the only one getting them right.
So you didn't even need to come out. Yeah. They just knew.
I was like, I didn't know you came out that early. Like, well, I had to. Did we fully get the answer out of you? Did you watch Girls at the time?
Yes, I did. I think like I grew kind of bored with it like around this point in the show.
Yeah.
Like I had a season 4 or 5 lull where I wasn't watching it as avidly, but then I went back to it and caught up and watched through the end.
Okay. And you mentioned before you rewatched it a year ago.
Yeah, I rewatched it fully all the way through. Like early last year.
Was it weird watching it at 23 and then watching it now and being like, huh?
Yeah, it definitely was a different experience because I'd gone back and watched, you know, episodes here or there, like some of my favorites, but I hadn't done a full all the way through watch through. And it just really holds up and it has only gotten better, I think, with time. And even as I've gotten a little bit older, like I can appreciate it a lot more. And there's a lot of stuff you miss the first time. Like it's such a layered show in terms of the writing, the performances, everything.
Absolutely. I mean, we watched the episode so closely now and I'm like, did I even watch it the first time?
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't know. I didn't get anything.
Well, now we also have the base reality of like you lived through the whole experience of like a similar time than they had it. Living in Brooklyn and also like just like talking, they have such a similar dialogue to like, or not similar, but like close dialogue to like what we have in our everyday lives. So like having that information, at least for me, and like processing that every day and then watching the show, it's like I'm getting the jokes in a completely new way. And it is, again, you're seeing things you missed before.
Yeah. I mean, what was it like for you guys watching it as teenagers? That's an experience I can't like, wrap my head around.
I just remember I watched it in college. I was like 19 at the time. And I just remember being like, oh my God, New York is crazy. These girls are so smart and I'll never be that old.
And dumb.
Yeah, I was like, I'll never be that old and brave. And now they're actually younger than me. And I still don't think I'm as brave.
Well, I learned about girls from watching SNL because I did a parody of it.
I was remember.
Like, what is going on here?
The Tina Fey parody got
to, like,
you?
I want to laugh at them. And I was like, I want to laugh with them. I'm on the show right now. I put it on. It's one of the best songs of all time. And that sketch was like, if you need a babysitter, you should call your mama. And that line from that sketch has stuck with me. I mean, there's two lines.
It kind of was like the precursor to the Selling Sunset interstitial music. Right. It's like Meghan Trainor core.
It really was the beginning. All right, well, let's dive into the episode. We have a segment called Minute to Win It, where we, as a group, popcorn style, give a summary of the entire episode. You want to get the timer started? Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to start or finish?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
start us off. This is season 4, episode 7, Ask Me My Name.
Okay, so fresh off of dropping out of Oberlin, Hannah is now a substitute teacher at a very bougie prep school. One of her students is Maude Apatow, and she is asked out on a date by one of the teachers, that guy who's like the nice romantic interest in every rom-com. Mm-hmm. And they go out on a date, but then Hannah decides to sabotage it and go to Mimi Rose Howard's art show.
And then, so they're at the art show and Hannah is kind of like, sorry, Fran, like my bad, my boyfriend's here. And I did that on purpose because I wanted to see like, I have a hot date. And then Adam is like, what the fuck are you doing here? And Mimi's like, thanks for coming. We should go to the bar together. And Adam's like, what the fuck? And then Mimi Rose is like, you and me, Hannah, we'll go in a taxi together. Adam, you can go with my ex-partner Ace in their taxi. And then.
So much fun stuff having no taxi. Mimi Rose and Hannah are really bonding in a way they never expected to. Mimi Rose is asking Hannah the hard questions in a bodega, in a laundromat, And we kind of see a fun side of both of them. Hannah starts off really apprehensive and then learns to love her throughout this whole process. While Adam and Ace are absolutely hate each other at each other's necks. Ace is like, I'm going to get Mimi Rose back. And Adam's like, oh, please get me out of this taxi. Then they all show up to the bar together. And Hannah's like, I'm happy that you're with Mimi Rose.
And that's 1 minute.
And then she gets a falafel.
She gets a falafel, which was so important. Not enough. Sex in the City would never do that. And that's just so much about what living in New York is, kind of going to the deli late at night being like, hey, so here's my thing.
Yeah, no one knows you like the guy who works at your bodega.
Yeah, it's like your 2 a.m. order is so part of living here that it's never touched on.
Yeah, we're never going to the bodega, Amelia.
You don't know me.
Do we have a bodega half a block from here? I haven't been there. I've only been there before we moved in here.
Really?
How long have you lived here?
2 months.
Okay, well, you'll get there.
Yeah. I'll get there. I can't wait to get there.
That's my kombucha spot.
So, you know, we were talking before about how I used to live in Bushwick.
Yeah.
So my last Bushwick apartment was a block from here.
Stop.
I lived on...
No. Over,
I lived at... Well, I won't say the address, but I lived on...
Oh my God.
So we would have been neighbors.
Were you walking to our door like, wow, I'm back at it?
Yeah, kind of. But it was like in a very like triggered kind of state.
Do you love sneaker stores?
I do love sneaker stores. But you know what I love even more than that is the empanada cart outside of Bank of America.
Okay, perfect.
Their empanadas are so good.
We have to get them. We have such an important question to ask
you. It's too important.
Rose, we asked this to all our guests.
Girl, what girl are you?
I mean, no, it's like an easy answer. I'm a Hannah.
Uh-huh. We thought as much.
Yeah. I have done this question with friends many times. And the most recently, I think, my friend Peyton, who was on your show, said that she thought I might also have somewhat Jessa tendencies because, like, I have at certain points in my life tried to maintain, like, a certain air of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm a Hannah.
You ultimately have a Substack, so it's like hard to get away from the Hannah allegations. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm a writer living
but
in New York.
I will say, like, you present cooler than Hannah for sure.
Thank you so much.
It's giving Jessa. I mean,
not to decode a mystery, but what are times you are mysterious like a Jessa?
Well, you know, I love to leave any like event, party, whatever, early without saying goodbye to anyone, which is very Jessa trait.
People ever follow up? Because I do that too, and people keep getting mad.
It's me. I'm getting mad because I live with you without telling me. Like, I would love to take a subway home with my roommate.
No, I think people are very used to it at this point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm just, like, such a fan of ghosting.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, look at Jessa. She, like, ghosted literally out of living in New York.
She invented ghosting.
Like, when she left Hannah at her dad's house. Like, hello.
Hannah's at the train, like, wait. It's perfect. Maybe one day you'll get over my ghosting.
I'm just like, it's like we both are going to take Ubers on 20 minutes apart. It'd be nice to save $10.
Totally.
But you know, that time spent alone in an Uber at the end of the night going home is precious.
Yeah, it's worth extra $10 sometimes. Yeah. It's the biggest time of reflection. Yeah. You're a little bit drunk, so you can still like internal, like you're looking at your thoughts in a completely different way, and there's a random man with you. It's a perfect, that's how I like the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can like lean your head against the window and look out. The view, and it's very cinematic.
It's cinematic. Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Florida. So were you like, I have to go become Hannah?
Well, at the age that I was like, I have to go become Carrie Bradshaw.
Of course.
But I also had to go become like when I moved to New York, I was a theater kid.
Okay. So and like, were like, you always I'm culture, gonna, right?
No, I was like much more like theater forward and came here to literally like, I was like, I'm going to be on Broadway.
Of course.
And then I got here and I was like, wait, theater sucks. And I just like want to like have fun and like,
yeah,
like be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't be cool and love theater.
You really can't.
It's tough.
I do still like theater. Like, I enjoy watching it sometimes.
No, I think it's different. Like, taking in a show and being like, this is fun. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, truly being like, I gotta get to Broadway.
Yeah.
Two different things.
And, like, the idea that that's actually going to happen. Because mm-hmm. I also, like, for me, it was more that once I got to New York and was like, didn't have a social life that revolved around theater, I was like, oh, this is actually deeply lame. And I just want to like be a normal person and have other interests. But then there was an element of it where I was like, I'm not talented enough to put my entire life on the idea that this very outlandish thing could happen.
Right. You're like, I need 12 more experience of tap already.
Yeah. They gave up on theater in this whole show so quickly. Like, Adam did it for 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. He did it for season one, and they like did Sergeant General, whatever the hell it's called.
Andrew and Don Click.
Major Barbara.
Yeah, Major Barbara.
But then Elijah gets cast in White Men Can't Jump.
Oh, exactly. So, actually, you are right. They're bringing all that to camp. That audition is truly one of the best. Yeah.
Wait, Evan, what girl are you this week?
I think this week, in this specific episode, we're not getting enough time. Like, can I be Maude?
You
want
to be Maude Apatow? Yeah.
Theo.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really feeling like Maude because...
You're really into analyzing books.
Not well, though. I know, I'm like, it is cool that I never read Oedipus, though.
Oh, really?
Which is famously a play and not a book.
But that's okay. I said, I'll let you have that.
Yeah. No, but even Hannah calls it a book.
She also was like, I read this 20 years ago. And I'm like, oh, when you were four.
Yeah, of course.
And I love when she calls that kid the funniest person alive.
That he should write for SNL.
You should write for SNL.
Which is really like where the funniest people alive were.
Yeah, of course, every time. It is cool because it is like half the people who want to write for SNL, it's like their English teacher told them when they were 14 and they kind of went with that.
Yeah.
So it's like Hannah, substitute teacher's doing that for him, which is beautiful.
Oh, you know who I actually might be though? I'm one of the characters that is like, that like, I'm one of the actors here and I can't go off script.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, this is a script and Tessa freaking out.
It's like, it was all over Facebook.
Amelia, what girl are you?
I think ultimately I'm Marnie in a side part bump it.
Oh my god, the faux hawk bump it was deeply triggering.
I have to say, anytime I'm going to an event that's like more artsy than my normal day to day, I'm like, I'm gonna try a new hair look. So I'm like, oh, I'll do pigtails tonight. I don't know. And Marnie with the giant side part bump it, I was like, I could really see myself being her.
I do the same thing on my way here. Actually, I was leaving my doctor's office and I went in the bathroom and I like did like a half up ponytail. And then I got on the subway. I was like, this looks so fucking dumb. They're 25. I can't do this. And I took it out.
We would have loved it. If you actually want to take a second to pause,
half a ponytail,
that could be big.
Well, we're going to jump into Leaning into Lena. But first, we're going to give you a word from our sponsors. Oh my god, that was fun.
Yeah, I actually had, you guys missed it, but I had full Haragami in. Do you remember that from the infomercial? Haragami is basically like a slap bracelet that you rolled your hair around.
I miss when commercials were that way. Let's lean into Lena. I think the first arc we need to dive into is Hannah and Fran.
Franna.
Love him. Yeah. What is his big thing that he's in, that actor?
Okay, well, I know him from a not very well-known romantic comedy called How to Be Single, starring Dakota Johnson, Allison Brie, and Rebel Wilson, my nemesis. She...
it's all coming back to me. I've seen that on a plane.
Yeah. No, it's like one of the 5 movies that I own on iTunes. I like weirdly really love it. And he plays Leslie Mann's love interest.
Fuck yeah. Judd Apatow keeps it in the family.
Oh yeah. Well, Maude Apatow. Hello.
I would... I would kill to be Judd Apatow's daughter.
Yeah, he's always playing like a...
Oh, he was in The White Lotus.
He was White Lotus. One. That's what I'm thinking of. How do we feel? Fran is kind of opposite Adam, just like nice, normal, acts emotionally in a way that makes sense.
Yeah, like he... They're like hitting it off at work and he immediately just asks her out. Like there's no games at all.
Yeah.
So then of course she has to play the deadliest game with him.
Which is, what if I took you to my ex-boyfriend's new girlfriend's art show?
Yeah. While our date is going really well.
They were killing it. He's like, let's get a second drink. And she's like, what if we made a mistake?
And I love when Adam asks her, what are you doing? Or like, why are you doing this? And she says, I don't know. And like, you get the sense that she's being truthful. Like she really does not know why she has sabotaged herself like this.
Have you ever found yourself like being like, I need to be where my ex is just to be like, hi?
Yeah, it's more like not even exes necessarily, but like people that I'm interested in. Like I definitely kind of want to throw myself in their direction. You know, it's like the people who, I've never done this, but when you make like you put only one person on your close friends and like take like a thirst trap, like that kind of behavior, but not so much like look at me with my new date, like I'm gonna rub it in your face.
Yeah,
it's so much easier if you have that new date to rub it in your face.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Wait, you kind of did that last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I look for you to explain what I did.
So you went on a date, or you were out at a bar and you started flirting with this one guy and you're like, oh, I'm going to take him home. And then your ex-boyfriend from 2 years ago was there as you were leaving. And you're like, this is a perfect situation.
But it wasn't on purpose.
No, it's the best when it happens unintentionally.
Yeah, yes. I absolutely did not mean for that to happen. Never like anything that's ever happened to me before. And I meant to like reach out to this person. It's because I wanted to like understand their side of story 2.5 years later. And then I saw them and I was like, actually, I don't want another story at all. But it's okay because then I went home with a former.
Yeah, you won.
Yeah,
I won. Thank you.
Before you got here today, the lights were all a mess because Evan took the farmer into here.
And the lights were just like on
the floor. Yeah, I was like, what happened?
They were like covered in fluids.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Nice. Do we think Fran is going to be perfect for Hannah?
No, because Hannah can't accept like normal affection.
Yeah.
It reminds me of one of my favorite episodes, the in season one when she goes home and hooks up with the like normal guy. Like she can't understand someone who just wants to like take her on a date and
be
normal.
Nice. Yeah.
This is truly one of those fundamental episodes, and we were saying that before you came on, or we were saying it before we started recording, but like this really sticks in your head, this episode, because it's so specific. There's this really interesting art event that we get to witness that I thought before moving to New York City was half the deal of living in New York City was that you got to go to a place where people are actors and ask them weird questions about themselves. Hasn't come to fruition. Still on my NYC bucket list.
Oh, see, you've never been to a weird art show like that?
Have you?
Oh my God. I've been to so many. And like, they're always bad. And they're always pretentious. Like, I have been to so many weird interactive art things. And I think maybe 10% of them have been good. And 90% of them have been like, what the fuck are you doing?
Do you think this one would have been good?
No. It looked like bullshit. And I think we're supposed to understand that it is, but that, because I think even Mimi Rose Howard like doesn't believe in it. But that, but like she has this sort of like cult of personality around her where she can trick people into thinking it's like a lot more profound than it actually is.
And of course Hannah's buying straight into it.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, you are so much cooler than me. You did it.
What gets the act of performing cool is for in itself is one of the essential ways to prove that you are cool. Like in a lot of places, like even some of those, she's insecure clearly, but like pretending you're cool is the best way to sell it. You got to fake it till you make it.
Yeah. And actually, I think it's interesting that it's only the moment where she like reveals herself to be vulnerable that she finally wins Hannah over. Cause like it wasn't gonna work by her just being herself. That only made Hannah hate her. But her being like, no, I'm a flop too. Hannah was like, okay, I love you.
Yeah, they were like, let's go to the bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's fun because we also get to meet. So we have the Mimi Rose Howard of it all where she's like so cool, like love it. And then we meet Ace, her ex-partner, who's like the same type of like, I'm so cool in this alt way.
Just like chewing on a toothbrush.
Yeah, I watched the like Hannah or Lena talk back and she was like, Zachary Quinto, I think is the actor, just brought that to set and was like, I think this needs to happen.
That's a strong choice.
And Lena was like, all right.
No, it works because it's a really good, it's one of those things that you only kind of sticks with you a couple times after you've like seen it. And it's just like a little choice that really solidifies what kind of asshole this guy is.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's still pining for Mimi Rose Howard.
Yeah, he's a breath of confidence that can only be secured by having a oral hygienic product in your mouth.
Totally. Yeah. That is what is happening to him.
And wearing like basketball shorts on a night out.
It's like we know too many people who do that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, it's a different time now.
Is Adam over Hannah?
I don't think he's over her. I think he's just so under Mimi Rose Howard's spell.
Yeah. Even though last episode was the abortion episode and he got really upset, he's like Mimi being like, I don't need you. I just want you. And can't that be good? I think hearing that now he's like under that whole new spell of like, oh, I can be with somebody who like isn't out of like a necessity.
I do think Adam is like always 100% focused on what's right in front of him.
Yeah.
That's why like in the early seasons when he and Hannah weren't like together, it was like when she was at his apartment, he was like 100% into her. And then as soon as she disappeared, like so did he.
It's like an object permanence issue.
Exactly. It is an object permanence. Yeah, so, I mean, I think he's the first man we've ever seen who doesn't have ADHD. And so when we get to see that on screen, he can really focus in on one activity and he's always in a flow state.
Yeah, I hate him though. Like, I love him, but I hate him. And like, I understand that Hannah fucked up their relationship by moving away, but he should have just broken up with her.
I know, because when he woke, was fake asleep, so he didn't say bye to her, and then watched her drive away, I'm like, no.
And then the episode where she comes back and, like, won't leave the apartment, he is very cruel.
He is, and it's also like, that is her apartment, bitch.
Well, he's even cruel in this interaction.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, your ex showed up, and so, like, also all her only three friends are also at this party. What is she going to do, sit home alone?
I love Marnie's. It's kind of crazy that you're here. Like she never pulls a punch.
She's so just like, this is crazy of you, girl. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I do love it.
To do it, it's like Marnie is so good at seeing Hannah's issues and not seeing her own. Mm-hmm. It's like you and Desi, girl, we're so worried, and you're worried about Hannah showing up with it. Like, we've got bigger fish to fry, queen. Yeah.
I love that Hannah keeps the smock on because that's very, like, I appreciate that kind of commitment. Like, I think of it as sort of like when you wear a costume, like for Halloween or whatever, you can't take it off until you get home. Like, I truly believe that. Like, if you're wearing a wig, it can't come off until you are like inside with the doors closed. There's no like taking your heels off.
The go-go boots to walk stay home. On.
Exactly. And so I like that Hannah like commits to the bit. Mm-hmm. And she also says like, well, I hate what I was wearing anyway. And like, she actually looks amazing.
Yeah.
Her dress is so cute. And oftentimes she is styled really well, which is like not true to who Hannah is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe like Marnie is shopping for her. Totally. Or Jess is shopping for her.
Somebody dressed her that day.
I think she fell into it. She got lucky for one.
Well, maybe now that Elijah's living with her, he's given out pointers. Because before the date, he is like, don't wear the lizard top.
With a hirachi sandal?
Yeah.
A casual hirachi sandal.
Oh, God, Elijah's fun.
I'm Elijah. I mean, he's so... I love how referential she is and, like, how specific she is. Like, bring up the detail of a Hirachi sandal is really... Like, we're in the scene. We know where we are. We know what time state we're in.
Oh, and when she says that she has to masturbate before a date to take the pressure off of it, I believe in and do that 100%.
She taught you that.
She actually might have. It's one of those things that I might have like just picked up without being conscious of it.
Yeah.
Because I always masturbate before like just a hookup or a date.
Clear heart, clear mind, can't lose.
I actually think that's one of those things we've all collectively decided on our own, and it happens to be a reality for everyone.
Totally.
It just worked. We all came to the same conclusion, and now it's cool. It's part of the zeitgeist.
100%.
Yeah.
Wait, so Mimi, Rose, Howard, and Hannah, they're talking in the taxi. Hannah's like, you're perfect. And Mimi's like, I don't know. And then they get to the bodega. And Hannah's like, why do you smell bad? Mimi's like, I'm so artsy, random girl.
I don't wear deodorant.
Yeah. And then they get to the laundromat, and that's where Hannah is getting a little fed up with Little Miss Perfect. She's like, I can't hear the poem you wrote for this bitch in 2 minutes.
Oh my God. When she gives the giving of the poem to the woman, like, I know people like that, and I'm sure you've come across people, maybe not as extreme, but people who just like live artfully, mm-hmm. and they are the worst people in the world. Just people who write poetry. And I say this as someone who has written a lot of poetry.
Of course.
Belong in prison.
Yeah. No, I've always
said that. For yourself. We're having a lot of open mics right now for poetry. Things are evolving in a way where poetry is actually becoming into forefront of culture, and it wasn't 5 years. It's like, so it's been relevant, but now people like had enough time to process COVID and like try to be individuals. And the best way to be an individual is to write stuff that's only for you.
Not all art needs to be shared, which is something that Mimi Rose Howard should think about. Although her pitch of her book did sound kind of interesting.
I was like, I would definitely at least look at the cover.
I would like watch the Netflix limited series that's based on it.
Like 8 episodes of that, I'm in. So we get to the laundromat and Mimi Rose says, do you want Adam back? Because I could give him to you, but you're going to have to fight for it. Or whatever, like,
that's crazy.
Well, I was like, this isn't the first time she's done this.
But do you think she's being serious, or do you think this is a trap that she's laying? How manipulative is Mimi Rose Howard versus how just honest is she being?
Right.
Because I do think there's an element of knowingness where she is playing Hannah a bit, because I think Mimi Rose Howard is one of those people who knows, like, how to reflect the behavior that they want and people to like get what they want from them. But I do think she at least like believes the things that she's saying, mm-hmm. even if she doesn't, would never really follow through on that.
I think it's totally. I'm like, is Mimi Rose playing herself, or is she playing a specific character that she like wants to emulate of herself?
I think both.
Yeah.
I do think she's asking Hannah because she knows by asking that she'll get to have the conversation she's hoping to have with Hannah, because she's addicted to the idea of like she can sit down and really like talk to this girl and have this one-on-one that like makes her feel good and like makes them feel like they're like really into open communication, like working through stuff. And she knows the only way to get that out of Hannah is to kind of like be like, here's something crazy, let's get into it. And I think she kind
of
kills it.
It's like the performance of vulnerability and like honesty. It's like, is this legitimately how she's feeling, or is this kind of who she wants to play to like feel superior to others, or like really feel like she is this real creative artist?
Well, it's one of the rare times that Hannah meets and interacts with someone who's like, will say as crazy things as she often says to people. She's mm-hmm. kind of met her match in Mimi Rose Howard a little bit. Honestly. And I think that's why they come to like each other by the end of the episode. I actually found myself thinking, like, in Hannah's life post-show, I feel like she and Mimi Rose Howard are friends.
Totally.
I can only hope.
Yeah, like, I feel like Mimi Rose Howard, like, comes upstate and, like, visits the baby. Mm-hmm. And, like, they have a friendship. And maybe, like, Mimi Rose Howard, like, wrote... like she wrote like a pull quote for Hannah's book or something.
Totally. And Marnie is like, I still hate this friendship.
Oh yeah, Marnie hates her.
Of course, the episode ends with them going to the bar. We find out that Jess is into Ace. Okay, can't wait to see how that unfolds.
And set up Mimi Rose Howard and Adam so she could get him. So it's like she knowingly set up her best friend's boyfriend with someone to get her boyfriend.
I never thought about that.
She's such a bad person.
She's not a good one for sure, but I do hope she gets what she wants. It was so funny when she's like, that guy definitely loves me. I'm going to be pregnant with his twins by May. Yeah. I'm like, girl, you go.
Well, and then there's another situation where Jessa is meeting her match in Ace, and we see this play out more as the show goes on. But it's like, it's very interesting to have Mimi Rose and Ace, and they come together and they're kind of like both, they're both on the same horror of Hannah and Jessa, and like their absurdism and like the way Jessa plays her feminine charm, Ace really plays his like charisma. Mm-hmm. And it's like very will they, won't they with all of them.
Literally.
When really the answer is they should all just like be in a polycule.
They should all be in a polycule.
They should be polycule.
Like, and Adam shouldn't be in it.
No.
Adam has to go.
No, he should die, maybe.
We end the episode with him kind of being so confused. He's like, so Mimi's fake and Hannah's kind of over me. What's going on?
He's too angry for his own good here.
I know, because he gets so mad at Hannah for showing up, but I also think that he likes it.
He loves it.
He's addicted to the drama.
He's an actor.
Let's go on our second break, and when we get back, we have a few more beautiful segments.
Oh my, that was a good break.
Yeah.
This time we got to rest and recharge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for
I
sure.
took a 6-hour nap.
Yeah. You look, your eyes are just glowing.
Thank you. I actually can't nap.
You can't?
No.
Really?
I have lifelong insomnia, so it's like really hard for me to fall asleep at night. During the day, just for like 20 minutes, no way, never.
I have to be honest, anytime I'm like a fan of someone famous and then I read their book and they're like, I have sleeping problems, I'm like, okay, I'm addicted to people who have sleeping problems.
I have really bad sleeping problems.
It's like, I remember being
really bad sleeping problems.
You're addicted to people who have sleeping problems. I'm addicted to Ambien. It's the match made in heaven.
I'm like, I remember being like 17 reading Amy Poehler's Yes Please, and I'm like, this girl can't sleep, she's rocks.
It is the sign of like a tortured artist, which is why the fact that Hannah can sleep like anytime, anywhere. I'm like, I guess you should have dropped out of your MFA program.
So you are a teacher.
Well, okay. So that's something we haven't really touched on, which is like the whole thing that Hannah and Mimi Rose Howard get into, which is like this feeling that Hannah has that she like why she's so insecure around Mimi Rose Howard, not only because she's dating her ex-boyfriend, but because she's like a successful artist and Hannah has like abandoned her art. And I think it's actually a really like touching and like kind of like definitely something that I saw myself in the first time I watched it and now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a rare moment of Hannah actually being like insightful about herself.
Yeah,
like going from earlier in the episode like not knowing why she's putting herself in this position to like then being able to understand why this girl like digs at her so much,
right?
Because she's Millie said this in earlier episode, but it's like she's the first example that we really have in the show, like a successful artist who really is succeeding at their craft in a way that actually is digging at Hannah, because she's coming right off her MFA program, like you were just saying, and to like she has no sense of identity, and to see Mimi Rose has such a clear sense of identity. And then they finally connect because Mimi Rose is feeling insecure in her craft, which is something Hannah can really relate to.
And that part when Hannah says, like, oh, I'm going to be just like my mom, I'm going to be unhappy, when the episode opens with her teaching and clearly being so good at it.
Literally,
you know?
Slaying at it. Last episode, we were like, she's the type of teacher that sucks and everyone's going to bully her. And then I like swallowed my words first scene. I was like, she's an amazing teacher.
No, she would be. If you had her as a substitute, especially, it would be so fun.
It would change my life.
Yeah,
frankly.
No, she would be the teacher that you thought about for the rest of your life.
Literally, right. She's
one
like.
One woman always stick with me when I was a teenager.
Yeah, the most important teacher in my childhood was like someone who had just graduated. I'm like, you get it. And you went to Stanford. But I always remember being like, why are you here though?
Well, that is kind of sad. Like I went to a magnet school and I was a theater major in high school, like hence, you know, recovering mm-hmm. theater kid. And we would have occasionally former students come back and direct plays, and at the time I was like, oh my god, these people are amazing, like they're like, you know, coming back and like teaching us all this stuff, they're so cool. And now I think about it and I'm like, oh wow, they were such flops that they had to go back to their high school and direct like a bunch of teenagers doing, you know, like Euripides and like totally not understanding it.
It's brutal. Just listening to you say it hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
It's like so.
You know who you are.
I get so sad about that stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of when you, at least my close experience of this, it's like I would always see like 19 year olds, 20 year olds, like they have a badge, like visiting student or like, are you a little guest class? I'm like, those are the coolest people on Earth.
No, they're pedophiles.
Yeah, they're literally pedophiles. Yeah. They're space where they, well, it's always a trope where it's like, whoever stays in a hometown and is throwing the parties is actually the worst off. They can't let go of high school. But in your eyes, are the coolest person alive too. Huh,
totally.
Time changes everything.
It really changes.
That's a big lesson we're learning here.
What is the last line Hannah says? Like, or Mimi Rose is like, are you mad that I have an Archo, or are you mad that I have Adam, or is it both? And she's like, well, I'm definitely sad about both.
I think honestly she might in this moment be realizing that she's more upset about the Archo than Adam, and like that's probably making her more sad.
Yeah,
because she's like, oh, like she dropped out of school, she came home, and like the thing she was thinking she could then like pour all that energy into was no longer a viable option.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I don't have my art, but at least I have a boyfriend. And like, now she doesn't even have that.
Totally. I really do think like sad bodega order closing scene was her being like, I gave up on being an artist. Who am I now?
Yeah.
Rather than like, I don't have Adam anymore.
Yeah. Because that driving force of Hannah, at least knowing what she wanted to be, was from literally the first scene of the series.
Yeah.
You know, like she's always had that. And now this is like a huge moment of her being like, whoa, what the fuck am I gonna do?
Right.
She doesn't have identity in a way she did before. Mm-hmm. And now she doesn't even have a boyfriend.
She was gonna be the
And for
voice,
so many people, yeah. A boyfriend is an identity.
Exactly.
Too many people. No, just the right amount. Hey, love you. I think I know what time it is. Girl, get your Glock. It's rapid fire time.
What's your favorite utensil?
Spoon.
Are you the voice of your generation or a voice of a generation?
The voice of my generation.
Ask me my name.
What's your name?
Why is Marnie mad at you?
Because she misgendered me, and even though I didn't say anything about it, she still feels guilty, so that guilt is turning into anger.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite Apatow daughter, Maude or Iris?
I don't know who either of them are.
What is your favorite origami expression?
Oh, I still to this day can make a paper crane, because I read Sadako and the Thousand Paper Cranes in elementary school, and it has never left me.
That book has never left me.
No.
I learned what cancer was from that book.
Same.
What is your sad in the night deli order?
A grilled cheese with tomato and bacon.
Oh my God, that sounds delicious.
It's so fucking good.
Would you rather have a heart-to-heart with your ex's new lover in a bodega or in a laundromat?
In a bodega, because at least there's food there.
Totally.
Do people look hot with toothbrushes in their mouth?
Yeah, I have an oral fixation.
Yeah, it's perfect.
I agree with that. I always think I look the hottest with a toothbrush in my mouth.
Yeah.
Well, it's giving like the scene in Bring It On where they're brushing their teeth.
I will say I watched this episode and was like, should I start doing that?
Yeah,
what if I did that at the next house party?
But it would have to be like, it couldn't be just a regular toothbrush. It has to be like one of the huge electric ones, yeah, that you have to plug in.
It's a quip.
I know I didn't get to mention this earlier, and I just really was desperate to mention this on the podcast, but I was one time in a taxi when they hit someone.
So no. Was I.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well, no. I've been in a taxi when I got into an accident, like hit another car, not a person. But yours hit a person?
No, it took a sharp left turn. We're like, oh, you can actually go up to my dorm this way. It took a sharp left turn. They hit a man on a bike. He got up. He goes, I'm okay. He wasn't okay. I did give him 5 stars because my uncle fired him from a project. And I didn't know that until midway through the Uber rides. And I found out my uncle knew him. And also had fired him. So it's like, I can't, my family can't hurt him more.
How did you find that out?
This entire story. What?
In the middle of the Uber ride, we found out he knew my uncle.
Because you were just chatting?
Yeah, I have no idea how we got there.
Wow.
Oh, because we were leaving my uncle's. No, I don't know what it was. So random. New Orleans is a crazy place.
Hmm.
That's wild. And then what happened to you?
I was on my way home from seeing Into the Woods at New York City Center with my friend, and we hit our Uber hit someone on, I think, Second Avenue, maybe. And we were like sitting there waiting, and then we're like, okay, we're just gonna get another car, and you're not charging us for this one
because
you hit someone.
I think that's fair.
But it was totally their fault. But it wasn't a person. I've never been in a car when it hit another person. Although I have been hit by a car as a pedestrian.
Stop.
What? Yeah.
Wait. Hayden had the same experience.
Well, she was in a bike accident. Yeah. When I was a freshman in college, I was in Queens one night going to like hook up with someone, and I was crossing the street and a car hit me, and I had to get taken to the hospital on like a backboard and everything. And then I went to my aunt and uncle's house on Long Island for a couple days, and 3 days later I went back to class and was like fine. Because I was 18 and my body was just like
bounced back.
And if that happened to me now, I would just die.
Yeah, it would end.
Yeah.
My college roommate was shot, and then he did return the same semester. Anything can happen.
Yeah,
people would be like, like in class, people would be like, oh my God, I heard that you got like hit by a car or something. And I was like, yeah, whatever, it's fine.
Oh my God.
Oh, and the guy who I was supposed to go hook up with didn't believe me. He thought I just ghosted him.
It does sound like a lie, of course, to be fair.
But it is anytime I have like a casual hookup with someone and they're coming over and like it takes them too long, I'm like, oh my God, they got hit by a car.
I think that's a fair fear to be feeling.
Yeah. Because it happened to me.
Yeah.
It could happen to you.
It could happen to anyone. Okay, our last segment of the podcast, That Outfit in Brooklyn. This is where we compare Brooklyn then to Brooklyn now. And you're kind of actually an expert. Was there anything watching this back, you're like, oh my God, it's not like that anymore?
Well, being in a yellow cab.
Yeah. The Uberfication of our society.
Yeah, because they would have, you know, that car would have tracked them down. I also think they could have definitely been giving like a little more ACAB energy to the cops. Totally. Although, you know what they did? Like, they ran out of the bodega without paying and did not care that the cops were there.
You've never seen a cop actually anywhere near a crime scene.
No.
So this is the first time we've ever seen a cop near an actual accident. So it's so cool. Maybe that happened 10 years ago.
It was cool. It was cool that they had to call him over, because it's like, well, what? You're patrolling the streets. You just saw a woman get hit and you didn't notice. Like, somebody had to flag you down. Girl.
The one thing that hasn't changed, I think, is Mimi Rose Howard's art show. I think like something exactly like that is happening within a 10 block radius of your apartment right now.
I have to agree.
It's like so Bushwick Open Studios core.
Why are you invited?
The only ones that I've ever invited to are chair themed. I don't want to go
chair
to the chair gallery show.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Like, to buy chairs?
Or to look at chairs.
That's cool.
I want experimental art, though, that I don't care about. And I'm always like, the worst kind of media is my favorite kind, always. So I think I would love any. If Mimi Rose did that, I'd be amazed and awed.
But so much experimental art is so bad.
Do you think her, Booth Jonathan, are dear, dear friends?
Yes.
Oh my God. We need a spin-off.
They maybe
with
had
them.
A child together.
Yeah. Yeah.
They ended up together.
That's the one Mimi Rose didn't abort. Yeah. It's perfect.
Oh my God, they need to combine. That'd be amazing.
No, it's giving like Bjork and Matthew Barney. Yeah, like that's like Mimi Rose Howard.
They would really have had to highlight.
Oh my God, I love Booth Jonathan.
Miss him. I hope he comes back. Does
for
he?
The eventual girls movie.
Yeah.
I think it's still to this day, she's like, did you think this show was good? She's like, yeah, I thought it was Beyonce. Like, in
perfect
show.
People would say that today.
Beyonce has remained relevant.
And perfect for 10 years, oh, another decade.
It is cool that 10 years ago she was as iconic. Yeah.
And it's not like she would say, like, yeah, it was perfect. It was Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly. She was
not perfect. That.
No. And the thing is, Hannah would always resent Taylor Swift because. She would write in a way that she always wished she could have loved it.
Yeah.
No Shoshana in this episode?
No show.
Isn't she at the art gallery for like 1.1 seconds?
No, in my head she was there, and then
she
on second watch.
She says all her friends. Yeah.
Because this is a weird season for Shoshana. Is this the one where she helps Ray with his political campaign?
Yeah, so the next episode she's like on the street in red, white, and blue.
I hate it so much. So my last girls rewatch that I did last year, I watched the whole show in 5 days, and that was made possible because I fast forwarded through all of the Ray scenes.
Oh my God, this is amazing to hear because I'm getting so much flack on our TikTok right now because I posted like, Ray doesn't need to be in this show.
No,
and everybody's
he doesn't.
Like, he does.
No, he sucks.
He sucks. And this political plotline, I'm like, you cannot be serious making me watch this every week.
It's the worst plotline and also Shoshana's worst hair.
Too many clips, girl. Make it stop.
Yeah.
Too many clips.
I need her to get to Japan. Stat.
We need Shoshin Japan so fast.
I know. Well, the thing is, like Sharpay, we needed a whole movie based around that.
We need
yes,
Shoshana's fabulous adventure.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Well, I think we really did cover everything. Are you feeling good? I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling great, but I did ask, what was your name? And you never told me.
Right. My name's Amelia.
It happened.
Okay.
Huh.
My middle name is Rose.
Oh my God. That's so beautiful. And so is Mimi Rose
And
Howard.
So is Mimi Rose Howard.
Oh, famously, her middle name is Eleanor.
Her first name is Rose. Mimi Rose.
Sorry, that was a misstep.
Wait, so we were going to plug your podcast, but it's ended, but people can still listen. It's In Fortuity.
They can still listen and you can plug my Substack.
Yes.
Mall Goth.
Oh
which
my
is
God.
Very Hannah coded.
It's so Hannah good.
Coded. Thank you.
It's perfect. Everybody read up and we'll be back.
Oh, and coconut bars.
Oh, yeah.
Fruit bars really had an amazing
time. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This last note.
Oh, and also the mini pies. I love
yes,
looking
exactly.
at the stack of snacks that she gets.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, falafel, mini pies, and coconut bars were much more relevant 10 years ago than they are today.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to get falafel in a 3-mile radius at this place.
Also, I think the most Hannah thing I connect to in the episode is when the woman is asking her if she can read her the poem that Mimi Rose Howard wrote her.
Oh,
and
yes.
She says, no, thank you. I'm good. Like that, I felt very seen.
I felt very
yeah.
search party.
And
for
you
some
know,
reason.
It also felt very of the now because people found out about boundaries in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
And I feel like
not necessarily respecting them, but
yeah,
they found out about them.
They found out about them than they're saying. I feel like more people are taking a stance.
Yeah.
Than
yeah,
than
Hannah started that.
It's very that that text that's like, I'm sorry, I like can't hold space for you right now.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, we're so sick.
This is
it's
perfect.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so
thank
much
you so
for being
much.
On.
Thank you so much for
this
having me.
Heaven on earth.
I'm like, I've been in Bushwick for an hour and a half and I'm starting to get itchy. So
yeah.
I'm glad it's coming
it's
to a close.
Of course. Yeah. It's the bed bugs. We'll be back next week with episode 8, but we hope you have a good one. Bye.